winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But you never give in. That's the winner.
Four picks against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? Shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach.
Sir, welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I am John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you some shit news from this side of the pond. Sheffield United are who we thought they were, sir. What a game going down early against the Blaze, worst side in the game. How you feeling, sir? How are you processing this loss? We're title contenders, dropping points at Old Trafford to Sheffield United. They are who we thought they were.
Contenders or pretenders, sir, today... Snap back to reality. We're still in a title race, but a performance like that, giving up the goals we did, I thought we had it. You know, when McGuire, when he got that goal, I was like, oh, game on, boys. Let's rock and roll. I feel like the subs came a little late. Not everybody was pulling that same gas that you were seeing out of Bruno Fernandes and Cavani all over the field. But, you know, you have to say, sir, the luck finally ran out. You know, we've had some victories that maybe we didn't deserve today. Oof, you could argue either way, first loss since we lost to the Gunners, actually, beginning of December. Good time to play them. Ready for a win. And, you know, it's going to be a big game on Saturday, sir.
In the league. I mean, we've lost to RB. We've lost...
13 unbeaten in the league.
We lost to City. We lost to PSG. You know, we have some losses there, sir.
13 unbeaten in the league, sir. So we had the longest unbeaten run in the league. No longer, obviously. Now it's City. But had good form. Obviously, haven't had good form at home, sir, and showed today. You know, I think we're missing those Old Trafford faithful, but no excuses. Play like a champion. And today we certainly didn't.
Yeah, and I don't think it's luck the matches we've won. I think that we've just overcome – you know, these kind of faults that we have. First, set pieces, like, duh, we're shit against set pieces. The more shit the EPL side, the more likely we are to concede from set pieces. I mean, that's obvious. Defending, this one covered it all. Absolute shambles on the second goal. We've seen this last time we played Sheffield United, conceded in the fifth minute. I believe it was a messed up back pass against Dean Henderson. We've had our issues conceding goals. I think we're 13th or 14th. With 27 goals against. The defense has to be sorted. Part of that being set pieces. Also, home form, absolutely atrocious there. And then our strikers can't get going. This is something where you see Cavani looks undroppable. He needs a rest, right? We know his injury record. You try to go to the kids, Martial, Rashford, Greenwood. Greenwood getting his goal. It's last game, but Martial, where are you at? I mean, Rashford's been fits and starts. Greenwood's taking a little while to come into it, but Martial out of form. And this is kind of when you get to the Manchester United of old. How do you win titles? It's with steely defense, sir. Organized, hard work in the midfield and in defense. I don't think we saw that today. And you do it with absolute killers going forward to the point where you can rotate them. Who's hungry? Who wants a goal? And now it's like, who's going to get a goal? And then our defense looks shaky. So I think you can play your way into form here as far as attacking goes. I think the defense has always been this way. I think this is a hard look in the mirror for United fans against a really poor side. It showed today. Defense is the weakness. We should be getting a center back in January. We've called for that. But the Glazers, #Glazers out, ain't nowhere to be found. I think they're going to the Super Bowl, sir.
Tell you what, they ain't spending any money on Manchester United. They should be getting a center back. They should be getting a CDM for United to reinforce and push for number 21 and 21, sir. But like you said, it's like the ilks of all the bad goals we've given up this season. The first one, soft corner again, right? Soft corner from a team you know they value corners, right? That set pieces is where they're dangerous. And then the second one was so bad because it was just like a, you know, a circle jerk of awfulness, right? The De Gea outpass, the soft defending from Matic and, you know, Telles, and it was just... And then he never really got back into it in the first place. Subs were probably a little late. So either way, it's a good time for another game because thankfully they never stop. And we need a win. You got to like turn it around quickly. And Arsenal are going to be a good test because they're in decent form. So big match on the weekend.
But I feel like the greatest part about the English Premier League and the 38 matches is that you are your record at the end of the season. You know, you're not going to get away with anything. Look, you can look at teams like Chelsea. They're flying high. They're absolute dog shit now. They'll probably end like sixth or fifth, really, is where they're at. With Manchester United, it's a similar thing. We were probably floating a little too high given how much we're conceding, right? The whole coming back every game, the comeback kings, how long could that last? We already almost broke a season record for comebacks. We just passed the halfway point. It's unsustainable. So we're always going to revert to the mean, and I think we're seeing a little bit of that. But from the mentality side, I think the players can get up for Arsenal. I think it's a shit Arsenal. I think we can beat them. I think we can kick on. It's just always streaky. He's streaky to the upside. We've seen the unbeaten run. He's streaky to the downside. So Arsenal's a big match, sir. As far as mentality goes, we really need to nip this in the bud right away. We need to get a clean sheet. We need to win by a goal margin, so I don't need to up the blood pressure medicine.
Blood pressure medicine is already on up, sir. You know, I'm waiting for my refill. But you're right. I mean, we talked about it last pod. We said you'll see a lot about this team's mentality based on how they get up for the Sheffield United match. Obviously, we know what happened. Even bigger test is Arsenal, right?
Ole said it. We beat Liverpool. He said the guys are celebrating in the locker room, but the real test is Sheffield United. You get up for Liverpool, you beat a big side, good for you. By the way, we conceded a few shit goals in that game too, but we went forward and were able to pin them back. And then can you turn around and do the dirty work against a shit Sheffield United? And we can't. And like, if you want to win a title, that's what you're going to have to do. You look at City, they beat West Brom 5-0. They're sending signals. We got to come into Sheffield United. It's a must win. You got to kind of, they're going blow for at the top of the table. This is a game you can't afford to lose.
You can't, and we're going to hopefully don't rue it, but you know, we have no time to go on a slide to the negative, so we got to turn that around right away and get back on another run because the games are unforgiving, and you go on a bad slide, and all of a sudden you're fifth, sixth, and it's title race goodbye. So because City are in great form, and we just need to be able to keep up until we get a chance to play them again.
Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. We believe in giving you that biased take from the couch, sir. We're doing this one remote. Appreciate everyone. We're trying to get as many podcasts out as possible. So the audio isn't as crisp as if we are together, but we always would like to get more content out. If you want to support us, it's just me and Alex doing this whole thing, sir. Keep the lights on in the bunker. You can support us www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our page. You can support us with four tiers, anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We're giving away pins, shirts, stickers, and scarves. We don't have any sponsors. We want to be supported directly by you, the fans, so we can be completely authentic and say what we want. We also invest all our Patreon support into our great website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have great fan content there. We're developing this platform via social media to get all the fan opinions out, no matter what side of the fence you are as it relates to our manager in this club or any topic. Nothing's off limits. We want everything to be discussed because in the world of NBC, LFC, sir, you know, Ed Woodward, he's got his tentacles in all the media. We need to get that fan perspective out there, and that's what the American Red Devils are all about. You can support us also by grabbing some merch. We got a store if you click on that on our website, sir. Tell them about the iTunes reviews. We've absolutely been killing it. We really appreciate all the cheeky banner everyone's been dropping on our iTunes reviews.
The iTunes reviews have been terrific, and they go a long way to helping us get discovered. What you can do, you can write a 5-star review, take a screenshot, and send it to our Gmail at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your address, and we will send you some free stickers designed by the one and only Stan Chow, and it goes a long way, sir. You mentioned the blog. We are still looking for contributors. If you're interested in covering any ins and outs of United, let us know. Yeah, just email us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, and we can figure something out. sir, what else we got? You know, we got to break down this lowly Sheffield loss, sir. Feeling it. Stinging. The threads chirping again, sir. They got nothing to say for weeks and months, and they're chirping again.
I'll tell you, a sniff of blood. I'll tell you what. First of all, you know, the text thread, I've been laying it on a little thick against Super Frank. So, you know, I'm going to say sorry to all United fans because I've been like laughing at, the Chelsea scum a little too hard. And the universe likes to clap back. So I think this is probably part of the loss. But the text we got was, that's the Manchester United we like to see. So not responding, not doing anything. I'm not going to engage with the trolls on the text thread. But, you know, everyone loves to see United lose. And this is a pretty bad one. Sheffield United, pretty poor. Let's jump into it. Manchester United 1, Sheffield United 2, Old Trafford. The 20th game week, sir. That lineup, Dave Saves, the world number one in net. Alex Telles on the left, Maguire, Twanzebe, center back pairing. I think Twanzebe a little surprise coming in. Wan-Bissaka on the right, Pogba, Modric midfield, Rashford on the left, Bruno Fernandes at number 10, Greenwood on the right, and Martial up top. Sir, would you make of that lineup?
So when I saw it, I like this lineup. You know, I like the intent that it showed. Obviously, you're playing Bruno Pogba. Would have liked to see Cavani, and I was excited to see Axel. Haven't seen him in a while, but unfortunately found out after the fact that's because Bailly was hurt. Went down with an injury yesterday in training. But otherwise, this 11's got to be able to do the job against 20th place Sheffield United.
Absolutely. I thought we would not concede early. I thought we would win this game pretty easily, maybe 2-3-0, or maybe concede one. But again, you want to jump into the first half?
Yeah, absolutely. United came out actually decently well at the beginning. There was some intent to our play, and we looked relatively sharp. 8th minute, ball fell to Bruno Fernandes in the box after a great pass from Pogba. Just unfortunately, he got the wrong touch of it, but it was an early good chance for Bruno. What looked like could have been offside, but just on, sir. And then actually, 11th minute, great chance for Rashford after a really nice ball from AWB, but just didn't get the right hit on it, sir. But United had some dangerous chances early, just not capitalizing it, and we have said that before.
This Rashford chance... this is the chance in the 11th minute right here. Like you put that back, we win. There's none of this doom and gloom. Rashford off. Look, he has fits and starts. He's had good chances, but, this is one of those where you look at United of old, you're going to win the title. This is a goal. Wayne Rooney, goal. RVP, goal. I mean, this is just the difference in winning titles. So when your strikers aren't firing and your defense is leaking, you're going to find yourself in a tough spot.
Yeah, I mean, no excuses. We, to be fair, we didn't create enough after this because the Bruno chance in the 8th minute was also a really good chance. When he's on his best of best, I think he takes that and at least gets it on net. And then, sir, the 17th minute, it was actually Sheffield who looked a little bit dangerous, forcing De Gea into a good foot save. Sheffield was off, but showing that, United looked a little vulnerable on the break. And then 23rd minute, sir, how it went.
Will make his run from that little bit deeper. It's into that fight. Serena's in. Sheffield United strike first with Keane Bryan.
So you look at it the first time, it almost looks like Twanzebe maybe got a flick on it. It's, it was always going in the whole time. Either way, I feel like we've seen that goal conceded.
De Gea whiffs.
De Gea whiffs. I guess Dino didn't get the start because last time he didn't play that great, gave up that early goal, but this one wasn't much better.
No, look, you can argue if De Gea's fouled here. Ole and the presser said he was fouled. It's soft. That's never going to be called. If you watch the camera angle from behind the net, De Gea has a clear angle, missed it by maybe half an inch, but it's got. If he gets anything on it, it's not a goal. This one's De Gea. The punching confidence has gone down over time. He came into the EPL. He was soft in this department. He got really good. And then for some reason this season, maybe a little bit of last, the punching confidence on corners has to be high for an EPL keeper. It's very important.
It is. It's also because we've been super vulnerable. I mean, the amount of goals we've given up off of set pieces, corners especially, has been ridiculous. And it's always been like this, kind of close enough that the keeper should be getting involved with it. And then nothing happens and it just flicks back post. And we've seen that goal 4 or 5 times this year. It hasn't been one-off occurrences, so not
good. So we saw it fighting for top four last season, too.
We did. It's unfortunate. After this, United trying to make something of it. 27th minute, Greenwood actually took a nice pop from 30 yards out. It was a good chance that was created from AWB. And then 30th minute, so this was the controversial one. Martial scored from a corner after Maguire bumped the goalie and dropped it. You'd argue that's soft as soft gets.
Sir, it's a foul. It's a foul. The keeper's protected unnecessarily. In my opinion, I think it's not a foul, but as it's called, that's a foul. That's usually called if the keeper kind of makes a – the keeper was able to make a – the Sheffield keeper was like, you know, made a whole thing of it. It's called a foul usually in that scenario. Nothing doing here.
I mean, it's a little – compared to the – you know, you could make a certain argument with their goal.
Rashford's got to score. Bruno's got to score. That's what I'm worried about. This is kind of on the margins, you know. Like, we had the chances. We didn't take them. Like, we created – we can't finish.
Yeah, I would argue we didn't create enough in this game, sir. At 41st minute, Telles actually had some good play finally, found Bruno with a nice pass. Almost got Martial at the end of it, and Martial probably should have scored here, sir. Wasn't his best. Didn't have the best day for the Frenchman.
Not at all. That was it for halftime, sir. What'd you make of Ole? Was he slating the boys or what?
You know, I thought Ole would have made a sub. I know. I thought United, we went down early to a really poor side, and they had a lot of fight in them, and I think it looked like he needed to change something up. I was a little surprised when we didn't see any subs going into the second half.
I would have hooked Martial. I would have brought in Cavani. I think that's exactly what you needed right then and there. There's also an argument for getting Modric out of the game. You know, maybe put in – yeah.
Shaw also, or Telles. Yeah. Telles didn't do too
terrible until the second goal, which we can get into.
Sir, we will get into it. He had a good ball as well. We'll talk about that in a second. But in the 49th minute – you know, I looked better opening the second half. Great chance for Greenwood. Great chance after a really nice ball from Bruno, but he just scuffed it. And, you know, the Greenwood that was fit and firing last season, he would have scored this goal all day.
It was a tight angle, but it should be on target, right?
Should be on target. Definitely scuffed it. And then 62nd minute, it was a bit of a lull. Sheffield were really kind of digging in. Rashford had a shot from a free kick way out, right at the keeper, sir. A little bit longer. Aaron Maguire coming up big.
He's due.
He was due.
Tez with the latest delivery. And it's a magnificent equalizing goal from Harry Maguire. The Sheffield United old boy strikes against his former club.
Sheffield United old boy, sir. You have to say he was due, but it's a great header from Harry Maguire. Just when we needed it. I thought a captain's goal, and I was like, come on, we're going to kick off from here. And then, not so much.
No, a spectacular goal from Harry Maguire. Like I said, he's been due. I mean, this one, a worldie of a goal. You want to say of all the ones he should have headed, the other ones are like kind of just slam dunks. This one was beautiful to watch. The captain gets his goal. You love to see Harry score, see what it means to him. I mean, you want United to press on from here. You want them to dig deep. Maybe Ole. You know, I do agree with 66 minute, the sub for Cavani. This is the time to do it. But do you take off Martial instead of Greenwood? I thought Greenwood should have left on.
No, I tend to agree, sir. I you know, 66th minute, like you said, Cavani came on for Greenwood, and I would have liked to see him go, you know, like for the number 9 up front with Martial, because he wasn't fitting firing today. Maybe he rated the whole hold-up play from Ole. 68th minute, worth noting, Bruno with this insane tackle, ran back the length of the field, put in a great tackle as Sheffield were breaking. And then right after this, Pogba puts in a great ball for Cavani, but he also couldn't get onto the end of it, sir. It was a little bit of that, like, close but no cigar. Passing was a little scratchy. You know, whenever we tried to break, we just couldn't quite pull it off. And it went from bad to worse in the 74th minute.
Nerdy passage of play. This for Manchester United. Nicely flicked it in. The Blades have done it again. They find the cutting edge.
So you look at it again, and the Telles is... it's almost inexcusable, but, you know, there was a lot of inexcusable moments leading up to this chance. It was kind of like ping-ponging all around the box. We didn't clear it. We kept giving Sheffield United more chances. We did.
There wasn't any ping-ponging. It was like...
no, in the build-up to this goal.
Pedestrian passes from Sheffield United with no fucking effort from the back line of Manchester United. Modric chilling. Telles chilling. Martial doing nothing. I mean, like, if you watch that clip, I watch it like maybe 15 times, sir, because it just like boggles the mind. It's an overload on the right. You got Telles and Modric. Okay, the first ball in, you know, that's a tough situation to deal with. But once they're there, everyone should get back, get set, right? We have to have the mentality. This is not a title winning mentality when you're lazy 1-1 against Sheffield United. We got to be digging deep. And what we saw is pedestrians, sir. Pedestrians, when Sheffield United has the ball in our final third, Twanzabi in no man's land defending nobody. That's where the deflection comes from. Tellus also in no man's land defending nobody. And then Martial just chilling, not cutting off passing lanes. This is shambolic. This is probably the worst goal I've seen us concede. That other one with Dean Hendo with the back pass, there have been some worse goals, arguably, this season. But this one, as far as like team commitment, effort, situational awareness, when you're competing for a title and it's 1-1, this is like World Cup final level. You got to be thinking and you got to be switched on. And to see this level of effort from Manchester United is just, it's a red flag to me. It's a red flag, sir.
So this is circus music stuff, because you're talking about the actual goal, but I'm telling you, the buildup is even worse, because De Gea passed it right back to Sheffield after we kind of been pinned back for a little bit. So the mentality wasn't right. We can't be conceding goals like this. And it's after a goal that we conceded that was so soft in the first half. When you get, you do all the hard work to get yourself back into it, and then you give up. It was like a comedy of errors. It was just so bad that it's even hard to watch.
Well, there's unorganized, and then there's no effort. And guess who's the one player who recognized the danger and tried to close it down out of position? Bruno Fernandes. Yeah. And that's the whole point, is if everybody was Bruno Fernandes, this goal wouldn't go in. So how do we get everyone to be like Bruno Fernandes? Or that is the 21st title. That's how we have to do it. But that poor mentality, sir. Poor mentality from United. And, you know, if you have a poor mentality in this situation, how are we going to do against Arsenal? I'm worried. You know, this is going to be a tough one to bounce back from.
It is, because even after we conceded, went down, it wasn't that much better for Manchester United. 77th minute, Tellus almost scored via freak deflection, and then Pogba ended up putting the subsequent header, the corner, wide. Decent chance, but, you know, probably worse chance than Slab had it earlier. And then 82nd minute, Cavani with a snap chance, blasted wide. And then basically double sub, Donny van de Beek and Shaw for Axel and Tellus. But that was basically all she wrote, sir. I mean, those subs were probably too little, too late. I would have argued, but all three subs could have come earlier, should have come earlier. And United, first loss in the league in 13 games, sir. Not good.
Sir, it's a tough pill to swallow, but are we better than this at the moment? You know, if you think about, we got Modric, the older CDM. You know, we have McTominay, the younger CDM, who can do a job, but can he do it three times a week? Probably not. You think of the jam-packed season, how many pods we're doing is unbelievable. You know, there is going to be regression in some cases, and players switching off in the 75th minute with this crazy season and a lot of rotation, and you can question, is Tellus the guy to really defend in the EPL over the course of 38 matches? Probably not right now. So there's a lot of questions about this side, and I just think maybe we exceed expectations too early, and we're just kind of seeing what we are, because with all these fixtures, sure, like we're talking about the fixtures coming up in February, it's unbelievable. So it's kind of, I think everyone's dealing with this. So you're going to see this across the board. So I think we're still in it to win it, but can we make these adjustments on the fly and then start getting results again? Because that's what it's all going to be about.
And the big thing is going to be, you know, we know the problems, right? Because the problems are pretty evident what we're bad at. You know, we can see a lot from set pieces. We give up sloppy goals. People, you know, check off mentally. But now the big test for Ole and the boys is going to be, they got to turn shit around like right away, because the season comes so fast and hot that if you let yourself slide for even 2 weeks, you can be out of it. And we cannot lose to Arsenal, because that becomes a must win with City absolutely cruising at the moment. So it's an important match. It's another away one, which we have been playing well at. And there's got to be the double motivation that they beat us in a shit game, or we were the better team, and they were, you know, it was a poor Arsenal side, to be fair. So,
sir, since we smoked Leeds 6-2, I would argue that was probably one of the highs. We beat Everton 3 days later, but we scored in like the 86th minute. So it was 0-0. It was really nervy. We ended up scoring two right at the end there. So that was a really close match. Then Leicester, we drew 2-2. Wolves, we beat 1-0. We arguably stole that one. Villa 2-1, doing the comeback kids. Lost to City. Beat Watford by a goal in the FA Cup. Arguably a lot of rotation, but Watford championship side. Burnley beat 1-0. Liverpool drew. Fulham 2-1. Same thing. You remember Fulham? Concede early. Battle back. We obviously beat Liverpool. Conceded two goals. it's kind of this always, this has always been the mode of Manchester United. It's like almost how long can we be getting away with it before we get caught? I think we can do better and continue to get away with it more against other sides while we try to fix it. So I'm not saying it's not doom and gloom here. I'm just saying it was going to catch up to us, and it's unfortunate. The worst team in the league got you, you know?
It is, and it's, you know, we say a lot of shit in this pod, sir, but it's like a great time to, you know, in a sense, it is a good time to lose because we need to snap back to reality and realize, like, these issues are not going to fix themselves, and we are not going to be able to win the title unless we fix these issues, because the same issues that have been plaguing this team since, you know, let's talk about this season, really this season, and if you don't do it, you can't win the league, and this team is good enough to win the league, but we cannot be giving, like, dude, the soft corners. Like, how many soft corners far post have you seen us concede this season? It makes me want to pull my hair out. If we had serious owners, you would have bought. Left. They would have bought a CB. They would. I mean, like, that drives me the most nuts. Is like, I know it's a pandemic. I know there's no fans in the stadium, but they should reinforce this team because they're on the edge of being very, very, very good. So it's like you need the next level, and they're just not doing it. You can tell because the Glazers, they got Brady on their mind, bro. They got Super Bowl on their mind, I guess.
Sir, are you telling me it's never been a better time to lose to Sheffield United than right now?
That's what I'm telling myself.
Bye, baby. I agree. I totally agree because you're right. Like, let's look ourselves in the mirror and to see it for what it is, this performance and why we lost. You know, you look at the defense, you see everything. But what's crazy is you wanted to put your director of football hat on. Sir, I'm happy to put that cap on here at the American Red Devils. You could tell Ed Woodward I work for free to be the director of football at Manchester United. Let's give this guy a job. We all knew we needed a defender. We all knew we needed to get rid of these old defenders. We got to get rid of Phil Jones. We got to get rid of Marcus Rojo. We need to bring in talent, sir. There's a few defenders that are out there that are decently cheap. We need bodies right now. And you see Ole with the rotation bye. Oh, my God, he's injured again. Who could have seen this coming? Everybody. The fact we don't have defensive reinforcements, I'm not knocking Tuan Zabe, but it's almost like you wish you had a more consistent version of Bailly, right? Because the Lindelof-Bailly rotation with Maguire is working. You throw Tuan Zabe in it, and it kind of goes to you know what. And I wish we had a more healthy version of Bailly. And again, I think that his injury record is letting us down, and this was foreseeable in a very long season with tight fixtures, sir. Probably just need another center back, and we can still get one in January, but Glazer's nowhere to be found.
No, they won't get one. It's not happening. But it should have, right? Because instead of waiting to, like, get rid of Rojo and get rid of Phil Jones, who's only there because you kept giving him new contracts, Ed Woodward, you have to buy ahead of the curve. It's like you don't wait until exactly. You get rid of them. You buy players now. A, it's going to be cheaper because when you sell them, it's even more of an obvious that you're like, you need a player. But you're Manchester fucking United. We're trying to win the league. We're trying to win silverware. You got to buy ahead of the curve, sir. You don't just be like, oh, well, Tuan Zabe can do a job. He's, you know, academy lad. He played at Aston Villa. He's ready to step up. And maybe he is, but you know Phil Jones ain't doing shit. Rojo ain't doing shit. Eric Bailly is going to get injured. And Harry Maguire's been a fucking rock, but he can't, you know, week in, week out. If he goes down, where are you? So it's like, you got to be buying people. And the fact that they aren't is... Sir, Glazer's out, baby. Pick up your scarf at AmericanRedDevils.com, $9.99. They're on sale, and they're a great deal because the Glazers are like the Scrooge of this club, and they're fucking us again, sir.
Yeah, you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They do the opposite. They got all the all-stars to get that team to the Super Bowl, and it worked. What's crazy is if they invested in, like, you know, a 30, 40 million pound center back, and we got a competent right winger, sir. I'm just saying, like, clearly we got Ahmad. He didn't make the bench today. He's coming in, but he's really the future, sir. We need somebody now. I'm not blaming Greenwood, but you'd love to see Greenwood rotating at number nine. If Martial ain't scoring goals, you put Martial on the bench. You put Greenwood at number nine, but we have a goal for right wing. We have issues on the defense at center back. Clearly, Telus was kind of like a little duct tape of a signing. Really, you know, I do rate Telus, but is he really the man that you're going to put your money on at Manchester United? We all know that was a cut rate deal. And you're starting to see the business that we did is kind of going to be limiting us going forward. And this is part of it. That part of that narrative can never be lost. Like, we are doing well. The team is doing great. But we really weren't backed in the summer. And we really didn't address the problem areas that I think over 38 games, they will bite you. And we're seeing that right now.
And it's also like, you know, we're not going to go full whinging. Yeah, I don't want to go.
Your lips are moving and you're complaining about something. That's whinging.
That's what I'm gonna start doing. But it's like, you have to remember, our number one rival right now at the moment is City. You know, that's like the best form team, and they're number one at the moment in the league table. But they got two center backs, and they already had center backs coming out of their fucking ears. And he got them like, here's two center backs, Ruben Diaz and a Premier League proven center back who's injured now. But the fact is like, that's hard to keep up with when you have an ownership that won't even like compete in the market, sir. You know, you ask for Sancho, Amad Diallo, he is, you know, we're excited about him, but you're right. He's not someone who's been putting in goals in the Bundesliga for season after season. So, you know, Ole's back against the wall, but he's not, you know, necessarily given all the tools. So that's got to be keeping in context. But at the end of the day, it's a results-based business. Ask Frank Lampard about that, sir. Your boy Thomas Tuchel. He's going to find out the hot seat real quick. Yeah.
But, yeah, but for, you know, look, the center back thing is like, yeah, we could have another one. It could be better. But for me, every time we pick the lineup, sir, it's like, who's going to play right wing? You know, it's like Dan James, Greenwood. Rashford isn't meant to be playing there. You know it. And so it's like, we just don't have that player. I don't, you could say that's a reason why we're not scoring more this season. I'm sure if you look at all the creation, it's like Luke Shaw and Rashford down the left and Martial, obviously shout out to him there as well. That's where all of our creativity, we're a little lopsided. I think AWB is doing good on the right, but we don't have that winger that's really killing it. So, you know, we just have to think of those structural issues at United and do a little whinging. But you know what? We got to put this match behind us, sir. I'm burying it in the ground, sir. I don't even want to go through the match stats.
They're not great. I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, stats.
76% of the ball for United, sir. 24% to Sheffield United. Shots on target, 4-3. Not great.
Well, there you go.
They played the low block. We had no solution for them, especially after they scored. They threw everything behind the ball. Match reaction, Manchester have lost 4 of their 10 Premier League home games this season. Their most in a single campaign since 13-14 are David Moyes. Sir, that gives me chills, which was 6. And Ryan Giggs, which is 1. Manchester United have lost 2 of their last Premier League home games against the side, starting the day bottom of the table. One more loss in their 21 such matches in the competition. They've won 16, drawn 4, and lost 1. Since the start of last season, no Premier League side has conceded more goals from corners than Manchester United. At 14, who's level with Brighton and Chelsea, and Chelsea are terrible at set pieces, sir.
So are we.
We're right up there.
So are we, apparently.
Harry Maguire's equalizer for Manchester United was his first in the Premier League at Old Trafford, with each of his 5 goals in the competition before this one coming away from home. And Sheffield United are the first ever team from Yorkshire to beat Manchester United at Old Trafford, sir. So a lot of firsts here to the negative here for Manchester United. The good news is we don't play Sheffield United the rest of the season.
maybe the FA Cup. I don't know if they're still in it.
Hope not.
They're not in the Europa League.
But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Hi, Ollie. I just wonder whether that result or that performance, surprised you, and also how big a bearing key decisions, key moments had when your team perhaps wasn't at it tonight.
Well, of course, we're disappointed, but any result in the Premier League this season shouldn't surprise anyone. So, but then again, very disappointed we couldn't put a better performance on, because it was down to us to put the performance up, and we just couldn't find an opening behind or round or between a very compact and good Sheffield United defence. And of course, the big moments went against us. If you look at it, Billy Sharp's been around the place and he knows how to put a goalkeeper off, and that's a definite foul on him, because so David can't get up. And for me, the referee makes a mistake by blowing the whistle on our goal for that corner. That's disappointing, but that happens. Well, there's many facets to a game of football. Today we didn't pass with enough quality, didn't get enough rhythm, and tempo and quality in our passing, didn't make enough runs in behind when we should have. So, because there were spaces there at times, especially first half. Second half, when they get a goal, of course, it's less so and more difficult. So, the boys have been absolutely terrific for the last few months. They've been really, really...
This guy's giving me the cut it face. Like, has he heard enough of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? You heard enough?
I'm about to fall asleep, sir.
I think that's a tactic.
Ole knows how to make a press conference so uninteresting that even like an angry fan looking for answers after a terrible loss just like puts you to sleep. You're like, I didn't hear anything there, sir. But that's the masterclass from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in how to deal with like
it's true.
Deal with, because he called the players out that they got to show up in the real test of Sheffield United after Liverpool, and he comes out. And he just says, there's a keeper, a call, like he's so great at it. He never says like, I'm disappointed. We should have stepped up. Like, that is kind of what, what I would do, which is the wrong thing to do, sir. So, he's not going to ever turn against his players. And that's why Ole Mr. Nice Guy, the players love him.
They do, and it's a good point, sir. It's like he put the onus on them before the match, and then they, and then it was their job to let the team down, let the manager down, which they did, right? We got, we shouldn't get to play that kind of performance at Old Trafford against a team that's sitting at the bottom of the table, sir. But you don't like to see it. But that is a tactic from Ole. It's just like nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving.
No, and it's great. Sir, let's check in with the table. What's really the damage here? We're whinging here at the American Red Devils. We're going off on tangents, talking about scarves, glazers out, everything, sir. You think we almost lost the plot, but let's what did it really cost us? Not much. Shitty, top of the table, 41 points. It's a sad day because I can't say we're top of the table. That's really what I wanted to be able to say. We can't say it. We got 40 points, but City has a game. So what it really costs us is City, if they win, they go 44. They're screaming right now. So they're going to be four ahead. That's not a margin that we can bounce back, but not if we're going to defend like that. Leicester City, the good news, they drew with Everton today. They're at 39 points, so they didn't eclipse us. They would have if they beat Everton. They are playing decently well. West Ham United are fourth. David Moyes, tactical genius, coming back from the dead, sir.
Ridiculous.
Who would have thought 35 points for West Ham? Then when the team should not be named, the shitbox, fifth place, 34 points, but they have 19 games. Tottenham on 18 games with 33 points. Everton, 18 games, 33 points. Chelsea, 20 with 30 points. And a new manager and Thomas Tuchel, sir. Super Frank, how you doing?
Super Frank, how's he doing? On the unemployment line, I think. I'm sure those Russian crooks write him a big check on the way out. Isn't that what they do?
Sir, Chelsea fans, they're absolute Muppets. What do you make?
Oh, I can talk about it all day, sir.
Dude, I called it. We called it. I called it to the Chelsea fan. I believe he owes us dinner. I said that he'd get fired before Ole. This is the way Chelsea is, you got to respect United for hanging with Ole. I think you can see the improvements over the few years, but there's no sense in sacking Frank Lampard now. They got a crazy board, sir, the crazy Russian crook running them. So yeah, feel no sympathy.
It's a low class club, sir. And they treat a legend like dirt. I mean, it tells you everything you need to know about Chelsea FC is like the decent thing would be just all right, fuck it, we're gonna miss Champions League. You sack him at the end of the year. They just like cold blooded took him out behind the shed, whacked him with a shovel, sir. Bye, Frank.
Yeah, and the amazing thing about Chelsea fans is they actually think the club was a big club before all the Russian dirty money was laundered into them, and they were no one before their owner. So it's like they try to separate that from their club, but that is who they are. They got nothing, sir. Absolutely nothing. Although Kensington, it's a nice place.
Nice part of London.
Nice part of London. You can't hit on that. But, sir, we got a next match. This is what it's all about. Arsenal versus Manchester United at the Emirates, sir. Jesse Lingard won't be moonwalking there this time. It's the 21st game week of the English Premier League, Saturday, January 30th, 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 Eastern, under the great kickoff. I'm very excited for this match. Sheffield United It's behind us, sir. Pod therapy. It's all over. Let's come on and beat Arsenal. I'm feeling Cavani getting a brace. What do you think?
Cavani, he's going to be starting, sir. I mean, you go from must-win to must-win. When you're trying to win the league, they're all must-wins. But now, especially, you got to win against Arsenal. Can't have, like, Arteta, tactical genius, doing the double against you. I have to imagine the fact that we just dropped points. Not dropped points. We lost against Sheffield. And then, obviously, Arsenal beat us at the beginning of the season in a shit match. They got to be out for blood, sir. Big game down in London. We got to get up for it.
So Arteta's still the manager there? I thought he got fired.
Apparently their bar is a lot lower. You know, he's not expecting Champions League football. He just wants to get into Europa League.
Sir, love laughing Arsenal with a ninth. Ninth sounds about right. Lifetime versus Arsenal 99. We've won, drawn 49, lost 85. It's been a hell of a battle against the Gunners. Lifetime. First time we played, October 1894, Newton Heath versus Woolwich. Arsenal drew 3-3 in League Division 2, sir. Started from the bottom. Now we're here. Arsenal's form coming into the match. They drew Crystal Palace on the 14th of January. They battered Newcastle 3-0, the mighty Newcastle, on January 18th. They got beat by Southampton in the FA Cup. They beat Southampton in the league following 3-1, and then they got us, sir. They're all over the board. Who knows what Arsenal you're going to get? I don't even know the names of the players on Arsenal anymore. That tells you a lot about where they're at.
Not great. They've been playing better recently. They've been beating the small teams up. And they just signed Odegaard, the Real Madrid cam, attacking midfielder, after Ozil just packed his bags. Speaking of, like, classy exit.
I like that.
You see his goodbye? He didn't even, like, mention the club. It was pretty good.
Yeah, Ozil went to Fenerbahce. Odegaard comes in. I think that's a good signing.
No, it is.
I like Odegaard. For some reason, I think it's, like, Zidane. You know, Zidane just doesn't like certain players and kind of snubs them. I think Odegaard's one of them. Bale's another. We'll see. But I think he's going to do well. He played really good at Real Sociedad last season.
He's a better loan signing than Gareth Bale is, sir. He looks in good form, only getting better. They only have him for the rest of the season, but they've been missing a 10. So someone worth keeping an eye on, sir. It's going to be a big match.
How dare you? I would have loved to see Gareth Bale on the right wing for Manchester United. Come on.
He's not playing much. A lot of injury time, a lot of golf. Big golfer.
Arsenal, a little history about Arsenal. It was founded in 1886 by the munitions workers at the Royal Arsenal in Woolwich. The club was founded as Dial Square. Then when their name was changed to Woolwich Arsenal. In 1886, a little history there, Robert Louis Stevenson's novel Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is published in New York and London, sir. They're as old as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's pretty old, sir. And in New York Harbor, U.S. President Grover Cleveland dedicates the Statue of Liberty as a gift from France. Boy, we've come a long way since 1886, sir.
Come a long way. Floodlights, Bramble Lane, back in the day. It's old blood match. You know, this is like late 90s, early 2000s, the two best teams in the league fighting out with Arsene Wenger. Obviously, we know who took the modern era. It was Fergie versus Wenger, but they were a tough team to beat. You know, the Invincibles, of course, who beat them. We did, but always love beating the Gunners, sir. They, you know, they like to get up for a match against us. We need a big win, and we need a convincing win. It would be great to see, not a comeback City win, which you could also see. You could also see us going down and fighting back, but either way, it's a huge match.
Yeah, and Arsenal are no joke. They actually moved to Highbury in 1913, obviously near Tottenham. That created the North London Derby, one of the biggest rivalries in English football, but really, you know, only people that care about are those two Muppets. 2006, they moved to the Emirates. They sold their soul, moved out of Highbury into the Emirates. Not a nice stadium, sir. Been to that one a few times. It has a kind of track ground feel. You're not close to the pitch at all. The club's won 13 league titles, sir. That's a big deal. A record 14 FA Cups, 2 League Cups, 16 Community Shields, sir. They got a lot of history. Like you said, we battled it out through the Fergie era. But they've fallen a long way, much farther than United has ever since we departed Fergie. And obviously, you know, Arsene has left Arsenal It's funny thinking of all the fans who wanted him out of the club, and now I'm sure they wish they didn't feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, Arteta, some of the faces he makes on the sideline. This is what happens when you sign on with a Kroenke, sir. I guess, you know, Glazers are bad, Kroenkes are worse. Is that what they say?
Yeah. I worked for Kroenke back in the day, actually, in Denver for the Avalanche and Nuggets. I got paid, sir. It wasn't bad. Yeah. I didn't meet the guy, but, you know, it wasn't no one was talking smack about Stan Kroenke. But, I think that when you buy a club in England as an American, people aren't going to like you. And then obviously, as Americans, for whatever reason, we really care about making money. I think that is part of the reason why the ownership gets criticized so much. Part of the reason why we hate our ownership is they love the bottom line, sir. They love taking those dividends. That's why everyone should sign up at our Patreon so we can buy Manchester United. Injuries, Rojo's out, Pellistri, he's got the long COVID, but he wasn't training. Brandon Williams got a knock, Phil Jones knee injury, and Bailly is out. Solskjaer said Eric was down to play this game, but he had a bang yesterday. He's sore and bruised, and that's unfortunate for him. So if you think Eric Bailly pulls punches in training, you're mistaken.
I mean, you see some of those training picks. I mean, I don't think Bailly ever switches off. That's what's great about Bailly. That's also why he's a bit injury prone. Hopefully it's not too serious, sir. I'd love to see him for Saturday, but I don't think we will. I think we'll see Lindelof.
Yeah, and Lindelof for Arsenal, I think, makes sense. Given those injuries, sir, what's your lineup?
This is what I've got, sir. I've got Dave Saves back in net. I've got a back four, AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, and Shaw. And I'm going to do Fred, Donny van de Beek, and Pogba, and then a front three of Bruno, Rashford, and Cavani.
I'm going to say Dave Saves, world number one in net, Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, same back line. Fred McTominay midfield, sir. We haven't seen that in a while, and that is a good midfield, good to work against Arsenal. Then I want to see Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, and then Cavani. Sir, I want to see that. It's almost that kind of 4-4-2 diamond. I want to see Rashford, Cavani up top together with Rashford on the left. And then obviously switching to the 4-4-2 in defense and going the diamond, getting Pogba forward. You know, I want to see Pogba getting forward. I want to see Rashford and Cavani combining. And then obviously I want Shaw. I want Fred and McTominay to do all the dirty work in the midfield. And you got to trust Shaw and AWB and the Iceman plus the Slabhead at the back there. I think that gets you the win. Get you the win away, right? And we're good away. So everyone who wants to whinge about this game, it was a tough one, but I think we're going to win with that lineup, sir. You hammer that line.
You walloped the Gunners, and nobody remembers Sheffield. So a big, convincing win. I think it's just like you're only as good as your last match. We need a big win.
You're allowed to take steps back, but if you take 13 steps forward, one step back, and then another 12 steps forward, sir, you're getting closer to 21, and that's what it's all about. Booking the bookies, plus 180 for Arsenal, plus 250 for the draw, plus 145 for United. We are the favorites going in this match to score. Lacazette, Aubameyang, plus 500 for Arsenal, their favorites. And then Bruno Fernandes, Edinson Cavani, and Marcus Rashford are all favorites to score for Manchester United. Ahmad Diallo is on there, plus 650. Sir, what do you think about Ahmad Diallo? Is he going to get on the bench in some capacity? I've been waiting for him to be on the bench. I think he's ready.
I don't know, sir. I mean, obviously, when he's ready, he'll be ready. Ole doesn't like to rush youngsters. I think he's shown a pretty good eye for being able to manage the youth. You know, Ahmad looks a player. All the glimpses we see, whatever like little tidbits they feed us coming out of training, he looks like a real player. And obviously, we need a right winger. We've been crying out for a right winger for years, arguably decades. So I'm excited to see him, but I don't think Arsenal away you're going to see him. You know, I feel it's like a little bit of a bridge too far, but I'd love to see it.
Should be on the bench. Should be on the bench, sir. I'll tell you what, everyone's going to get really pumped when he gets on the bench, whatever game it is. Given that, what's your score prediction?
Sir, I think United did the job. Keep a clean sheet. 2-0.
Whoo, sir. I think we do it dirty at the Emirates. I think 3-1. I think a convincing win. We fight back mentality all day, United. Fighting back up the table. We got to clap back after this Sheffield United. God damn the blade, sir. United in the news. Odion Ighalo confirms Manchester United exit. Thanks clubs for making his dream come through. Odion Ighalo, absolute class act. He came in last January, due to an Ed Woodward special, which is like pretending he's going to buy Holland. Just kidding. I'm going to get Igalo from China and overpay at the last minute on the last day because we don't have anyone to play striker for Manchester United. Actually came in, did well. No one's going to cheer against somebody because Ed Woodward does terrible business, a la every player we've signed like late in a window, Cavani being one of those. But the one problem I have is, why do you re-up the deal? We arguably paid another £10 million to get Igalo to stay, and he wasn't used. This shows you the disconnect between the boardroom and the locker room. And this is just bad business. Again, Ed Woodward special, just paying people money for no reason. This is money that we could be using in the transfer window to get a right winger or get a center back, and we're just giving it to Shanghai Shenhua to pay Igalo a loan transfer fee of $6 million plus his wages, sir. Unbelievable. Bad business.
No, I mean, the initial deal was because of a swing and a miss. All right, Holland was locked on, and then just Eddie, four-finger special, just absolutely whiffs it, misses the deal, goes to Dortmund's tearing it up. They bring in Igalo last minute. We needed somebody. We needed a striker to fill the void. He actually did a decent job. Got a couple big goals, got a couple key contributions. I like that end of the City game. I remember right before fans, unfortunately, weren't allowed anymore. He had a nice hold up at the end. But you know what? Obviously, Ed Woodward doing the re-up.
It's the re-up that's the issue.
The re-up, right. Also, just as a month later, bringing Edison Cavani. So it just it was completely who's talking to each other.
It was a £10 million re-up. It was a £10 million re-up loan fee for Odion Igalo, who never played.
A second $10 million? A second $10 million? I mean, there was an initial outlay, and then he played.
No, it was a $6 million. It was $6 million fee for the extension, and then his wages, I believe, brought it close to $10 million, sir.
And just through January, right? And it was just through January. It was it was stupid. Yeah. Well, Ed Woodward, sir, has no idea what he's doing.
I know, but this is just as a fan, you're like, I love Igalo. I like for him to stay, but at the end of the day, that's a lot of money for a loan. That's what I say. If you're going to pay that money, he's got to stay the year. And then we didn't even use him. So again, I could talk about Ed Woodward special all day, but this one is just, what do you mean?
It's a great example of that, because honestly, you're signing Cavani. You don't really need Igalo. You let him go with dignity in the summer. Yeah, he's spending big cash, keeping him around. And then you're just you look like a bit of a jerk, just keep him on the bench. So
yeah, but you read the tea leaves, sir. As the American Red Devils, we're reading the tea leaves saying, does Ed Woodward have any idea what the fuck he's doing? And the answer is absolutely not, because he's paying Igalo, paying him out to stay, and then signing Cavani. And he's just literally who's available? That's literally the strategy. It's not what does our team need? It's literally who can I get that can sell shirts? Now, Cavani turned out great, but then you pay Igalo and then he sits on the bench. So it's this strategy of letting the market dictate who you sign instead of having more intent to go out and make moves is just Ed Woodward in a nutshell, which is why we're where we are. So hashtag Glazers out. Get your scarf, sir.
$9.99, baby. They're on sale and they're a great deal. Great quality.
Love that scarf, sir. Green and gold, the club is sold. Next bit of news here. Absolutely a riot. Two big number nines for Manchester United. The bust up between Romelu Lukaku. He raises at Zlatan, F you and your wife, Zlatan, and him are going at it in the Milan derby. Shout out to our boy Freddie, big AC Milan fan. Swede got the red. Two former United strikers, Sir, what do you make of this?
Sir, great to see. Both players going on and enjoying themselves in Italy. Both are playing really well. Lukaku's been banging them in, and so has Zlatan. So two of them are fighters who and I'm sure they're just talking a ton of shit. Mainly Zlatan probably stirred the pot. And Lukaku, doesn't like to get talked to that way. And he's a big guy as well. So I would watch these guys in the boxing match all day. I mean, it's like two giants that you see them clobber each other. That'd be worth seeing. But
who would win in a fight?
I think it'd be tight. It'd be tight, sir. I mean, I had to get to Zlatan. I think he's a black belt. I mean, Lukaku on just pure size and strength, but I think, he's got the technical, he's got the black belt, so advantage Zlatan. Who do you got?
Sir, I'm going to go with Lukaku. I'm going with Lukaku, sir.
He's a beast.
He's big. He can wrestle, get Zlatan to the ground and pound, TKO, it's over.
ground and pound.
Ground and pound. Zlatan's also got that ponytail he can grab, sir. That's also disadvantage.
That's true. He has to shave his head before a fight.
Yeah, sir. Oh, my God. We can go on all day. Let's jump into fan questions. Really appreciate all the banter, comments, questions, everything on Twitter. Sir, jumping right into it, at Burkett Mets. Whenever we get a loss, he always steers us right. 13 matches without a loss until this one. Definitely a bad, bad loss, but this team is growing. All you can do is dust yourself down and start another unbeaten run. The games are going to keep on thick and fast, so it's time to step up and smash Arsenal. Couldn't agree more. Speaking of thick and fast, it's almost like by the end of February, we're going to know. We're going to know if we're in for the title or we're in for top four. End of February, we know absolutely what the case is.
Well, there's just so many matches, but it's true. It's like United streaky, Ole streaky. We can't turn this into the wrong kind of streak, right? We were on a good winning streak. We got to get right back to winning, and it starts with a big game on Saturday.
Listen to these league sides. Arsenal, Southampton, Everton, West Ham, West Brom, Newcastle, Chelsea. That's February, sir.
It's going to be tough, sir. Those teams at the beginning, they're all playing well. Even West Ham, right? They're fourth. They're in good form, sir. Everton are never easy to play, so, dude. Let them come.
Sociedad in there as well.
Play the kids. Play the kids.
Oh, by the way, we have FA Cup and Europa League in that lineup as well. So that's just not February. At Jamal Mota, sirs, this pod's going to hurt. We all knew we had this type of game still in us. Bottom of the table loss at home. Second goal defending was horrid. Burke sitting alone in the box like Shaq behind a three-point line. Got a kick on, though. Glory, glory, Man United, sir. Couldn't agree more. At MJ Fitz, quote, so frustrating. Martial needs a kick in the ass. The second goal was some Sunday pub league crap, pissing away a real opportunity. What do you make of Martial?
You know, I think he needed to get subbed off probably today. You know, some things he does well, but probably needs to freshen up. You know, I thought it was pretty telling at the beginning of this game. By halftime, you had to get Cavani in like for like. You know, I thought Greenwood was offering a little bit more, and that hold-up play wasn't doing enough. And you know, he just hasn't looked himself, but I think Ole likes to play certain players into form, and he was hoping to do that with Martial.
At Trey Blot J, quote, can't wait to hear y'all say something good about this disaster, sir.
Can only go from here, and big time for a big game against our tennis men, sir. You know, we got to go and get a huge result because now we can't talk about Sheffield United no more, sir. If we, you know, all of a sudden it turns into a skid, right? You go from a blip to a skid to a fucking disaster real quick if we start losing 1-2-3. So the Arsenal game becomes a must-win because even a draw is going to, like, really sting a bit because the gap is going to widen in a material way.
No, and I totally agree. And the way you think of the upside of this, sir, the benefits of this are it couldn't come again. It's the biggest wake-up call you could get when you're in a title race to lose like this against that team at home. You know, so if you're going to wake up and you're going to win 21, you know, now's the time, and it's the perfect time. We're just halfway past. It's a terrible game. You can make this mistake, but it's all about the next one, and under Fergie, we'd always clap back and do some serious damage. At @jur_young93, quote, embarrassing. This is on the players, not Ole. Martial's work rate is frightening. Would love to see Donny play in against a team like this. Sir, would some of these players be starting with Fergie? He was always high work rate. I saw a lot of people kind of slouching out there.
I think he would have yanked some of these players. I think he would have not started some of these players. We've talked about this before, sir. I think he'd be starting Donny van de Beek, even Dan James Moore. I think, you know, today, Ole had it right. He was warming up Mata. I think this game would have called out for Mata and those good in balls to Cavani. Just like it made sense. And I have to say, Ole, certain things, you know, I think the subs were made a little early and some of his boys, I think he has to freshen up because you need legs. It's like today, I feel like Sheffield had the legs. Some of our players were like busted. I mean, look at Bruno, the kind of effort he was given. Everyone's got to be given that, or that, like, they can, you know, who's next? Who else is next? I'm sure Dan James would be willing to run his ass off if you gave him the chance.
Do you think the issue is that we're doing so well that Ole's not really willing to take those risks, like put James in on the right or put Donny at 10? Because if we're, you know, if we're third or we're fighting for top four, you can maybe get away with more rotation just to see more. Maybe his rotation's been tight because we're doing so well. He doesn't want to give up any game. Could that be the situation?
you know, maybe it's some players he doesn't know if he can trust them yet, or it just, you know, there are no small games. So, yeah, he doesn't want to overly rotate. But whatever it is, players are going to get injured. We've been actually pretty good with the injuries. But now, you know, it'd be interesting to see who comes out with an 11 for Arsenal, sir. It's a big match, and some of those players that let him down today are not going to feature.
Yeah, I think Martial, you're looking at him. At Michael Magalis, quote, AWB and Telus were dreadful, hardly played the full width of the pitch in the attack. Telus was nowhere near Burke on either attempt during the buildup to the second goal. I think Ole had a quality side out there, but defending on the second goal was just dreadful. Totally agree. At you, Boson, feels like our title challenge is over. The first team losing to Sheffield, just embarrassing. I have the same feelings after the loss against Spurs. This week can easily turn catastrophic on the weekend. Title challenge over, sir? What do you say?
I think not quite. Not yet. If you go for a skid, it's over. But like I said, you got to come back and you got to beat Arsenal, and you should beat them well because this team is beatable. That'll be the difference, right? I think we'll know by the weekend because, like you said, actually probably know by February, sir, how many matches we got coming. But we can't lose two in a row. You certainly can't. And even drop points would be bad for us against a ninth place Arsenal.
Sir, I don't think the title race is over by any means. We're halfway through a crazy season with tons of fixtures. Like, look, City's playing hot now. Who knows what that's going to look like in April, May? Who knows how many sex parties Kyle Walker is going to have and how many other teammates he's going to infect with COVID? That's our best shot, sir. You got
we got to keep it tight. We got to keep it tight and wait for those spring parties, sir. Those spring COVID parties that, you know, he's dying to have. But all, we got to keep it tight because we got to keep it within a stone's throw by the time we play them. That's the big thing, right? Is like we cannot be skidding out of the game and all of a sudden it's a top four race again. And Jesus, nobody's ready for that, sir. Not enough pot therapy in the world for that.
Yeah. At Mbaya 13, quote, worst result of the season for me. And quite frankly, it's a deserved loss. What the defense was doing on the second Sheffield United goal, I'll never know. Absolutely shambolic. Title winning sides do not drop points in this type of fixture. Embarrassing, sir. They don't, but you can still win the title dropping these points, or you just got to beat all the big sides. At Brody Lejeune, quote, at least Slabhead finally headed one in for once. Totally agree there. Shout out to Harry. It's a shame he's not getting more credit because of the, you know, tough loss. And he did defend well. And I think we'll finish on this one. At Irvine 38, at USA Red Devils, push on to Arsenal and leave this golden opportunity behind us. This makes the big games in this title race even more important. Gutted with the result. First loss to Sheffield United in nearly 28 years. We got to be better. Totally agree. Let's push on to Arsenal. Let's smoke them at the Emirates, sir. Never say die. Back in United no matter what. Top of the table was great, sir. But you know what? It's going to be a dogfight to the end. We're prepared, and we're going to support this team no matter what.
You know it, sir. Even if we went down to League Two, we'd be rooting on Manchester United. This is when the rubber hits the road, right? You know, we're flying high after Liverpool. Oof, you get punched in the mouth by Sheffield United, sir. And now it's about bouncing back, going down to fancy North London Emirates Stadium, sir. They're a soft team. We got to treat them that way. We got to treat them that way.
We got to bully them, sir. Exactly. That's what it's all about. That mentality that we got to work hard. We got to kick them around the pitch. That's the podcast. We appreciate everyone for listening. Your support goes a long way with this podcast. Like I said, it's just me and Alex trying to get as many pods out. So appreciate if there are any audio issues. I think Alex has been stepping up his game on the remote pods. So really appreciate everyone listening. If you want to support the podcast, support independent fan content, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our website, www.AmericaRedDevils. Great fan content. And our online store has that Glazers Out scarf we've been talking about all pods. Or, you know, we lose Glazers out, we win Glazers out. That's just the way it is. It's a lifestyle here at the America Red Devils. Again, write a review on iTunes. That goes a long way. 5 stars, some cheeky banner. We give away stickers if you email your review to americaredevils@gmail.com. Sir, we've had some amazing downloads the last 7 days. Give us those downloads.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Brooklyn, New York, Columbus, Ohio, New York, New York, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, McKesney Park, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, number 7, Boston, Massachusetts. It's all America. I love it. Hotlanta, Georgia, number 8, LA, California, and West Des Moines, Iowa, number 10. And shout out to Oslo, Norway, number 11. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening in week out around the globe. So there's going to be a dip in listeners. People are not happy. Some people are going to need that therapy, that pod therapy. But I'll tell you what, we're going to be back on Saturday. Always got to get the boys up for it. Big match. Big match.
Sir, if you listen to this pod, you're the hardest of hardcore. That's what it's all about, sir. It's pod therapy, like you said. Put this one behind us. We're on to the Gunners. Cannot wait. Saturday morning, going to be an amazing match, sir. Always not the wheel anymore when you lose to Sheffield at home. So we're going to be kicking a blue.
As always, we're kicking a blue.